Hi, welcome back to Sports Central. Let's talk some Steelers. Alan Saunders from SteelersNow.com joins us. Some news out today about the Steelers and training camp involving St. Vincent College in Latrobe. Alan, what's going on with you today, buddy? How you doing?
I'm good. Had a work from home day, you know, just catching up on a bunch of stories. And then we got the big news this morning. So that kind of dominated the cycle ever since. But good. I'm full into the off season swing here. I got nothing on my calendar for nearly a month.
Alan has some excellent thoughts on Steelers training camp in a Twitter thread. We're going to get into those here in a moment. But the news of the day is the Steelers will not be able to take part in training camp in Latrobe. Why was this decision made?
Well, the short answer is the Steelers' plan that they submitted to the NFL for what they were going to do with training camp as far as COVID mitigation didn't pass the muster of the agreement that was agreed upon by the league and the NFLPA. And so the league said, you can't do it. Now, that's the short answer. The long answer gets a bit more complicated because we don't really know exactly what was objectionable that the Steelers wanted to do that the NFL said they couldn't do. And we don't know whether the Steelers could have done without those parts of their plan or chose not to. I think at the end of the day, it's a decision that seems to make sense for everyone based on what we know, that the NFL wasn't going to allow fans to have close in-person access with players, no autographs, no, there was a minimum distance. I think it was like 20 feet or something like that. And so under those circumstances, I don't think that anybody's going to get a lot of value out of going to Latrobe this year. And so I think it was something that made a lot of sense for everyone.
See, that's the key thing here. And Alan talked about this in his Twitter thread. Look, if the fans can't enjoy, you know, all of the up close and personal components of training camp, and then you're just subjecting NFL players to live in a dorm at a college for several weeks, Alan, do Steelers players even want to be at training camp in Latrobe?
Well, I mean, I haven't been covering the team for as long as some people do, but I'm not sure the Steelers players have ever wanted to be in Latrobe. Certainly hasn't been the case since I've been around. Would you rather live in your nice house or your nice apartment that you've picked out for you and be with your wife and your kids or around your friends? Or would you rather be in Latrobe in a dorm room sharing it with a teammate with nothing to do and nowhere to go? I mean, I think that's kind of a no-brainer. I think that professional football players and really any professional athlete understands that there are things that you have to do that maybe you don't want to do that are part of building the audience for your sport, right? You know, baseball players, I'm sure not every baseball player gets to the ballpark and says, what I really want to do right now is go walk down the third base line and sign 50 autographs. You know, like there's these things that these players understand they're a part of the job. But without there being able to be fan access this year, I think there's really not any upside for the players to see to want to go through that. And so I'm not sure exactly what the give and take was here, but I can certainly see as part of that agreement that the league made with the players that they weren't going to do things like double up in dorm rooms or something like that this summer in order to get the players to go along with the cadence of testing and all the other stuff that they have to implement into this year that they don't normally have.
Yeah, it's a very good point. You know, Alan Saunders from SteelersNow.com, these team bonding and player bonding and all that stuff that, you know, is supposed to take place at these kinds of camps, is any of that really even necessary anymore? I mean, I know we can go watch Remember the Titans and see what going off to team bonding camp can mean. But in today's day and age, is any of that really necessary?
I mean, I think there's probably some benefit to it. I just don't think in a universe where, you know, every part of this experience is collectively bargained, and I just don't think it's something that the coaches and the owners and the front offices are going to look at and say, like, we got to have that. You know, there's probably some benefit to it, but if the players don't really want to do it, I don't think going to be this push from ownership that this is some kind of absolute that they absolutely have to have in order to be a competitive team and to put the best possible product on the field. So, and I think you've seen that because, I mean, let's be honest, we're seeing other teams go away to camp. The Cowboys are going away. The Panthers are going away. The Chiefs are going away. Clearly, there is some universe in which the Steelers could have made their plan fit what the NFL needs. They just, you know, probably decided that it wasn't worth jumping through whatever hoops were required. There's not enough of a benefit that they're going to get out of it, especially this year.
Yeah, it is fascinating because some of these teams, again, they're going on trips, you know, to go to their camp, and people get up in arms that the Steelers can't, you know, drive down the road and go to their camp. But ultimately, let me ask you this. Do they ever go back to training camp at Latrobe Allen? Is this something that they'll return to next year or the following year when our world continues to get more back to normal? Or is this something that these players and these organizations are going to say, you know what, we'll go a different route than staying in a dorm?
I think it's a very open question. I think the Steelers organization would, as tied into tradition as any front office in all of football, they understand what going there every year has meant to the organization, to the fans, and the history of it. The field there is named after Chuck Knoll. The Rooney family is heavily involved in St. Vincent College. And so I think the organization, if it's up to them, will say, yes, absolutely, we're going to go back. But I do think that we are going to see, as we already did this year with the OTAs. You know, I think as players saw last year, okay, they didn't have OTAs. The league decided not to have OTAs because, they didn't feel like they had a safe plan to do it at the height of the pandemic last spring. And then this year, the players said, you know what, we don't really want to go back to OTAs. We didn't miss it last year. And so then there had to be some give and take from the league to get the players back on board with coming in for those 3 weeks. And as a result, we didn't have 11-on-11 drills at OTAs this year. So I can certainly see it happening that the players decide that these going away for camp isn't really worth it to them, that they'd rather spend that time with their families, and that they'll push for that coming out of the pandemic. I can certainly see that, but we'll see. With everything that is collectively bargained, it's all about the priorities of what people really want and what they're willing to give on. I'm not sure that I know the NFL players aren't super excited about going to camp every year, but I'm also not sure that that's at the top of their list of complaints either. So we'll see. But I wouldn't say it's any kind of certainty that the Steelers will be back in Latrobe next summer.
Good stuff, Alan Saunders from SteelersNow.com. Before we let you go, there is one other subject that I want to get your thoughts on. Alan covers the Pirates as well. To me, and look, you may differ, and some people may differ. I think this the sticky substance baseball issue is a major deal. I think it's cheating at the most basic level, and it's been going on for years, and everybody's just turned an eye to it. And I understand what Garrett Cole says about, hey, this was passed down to us, and this is just the way things have been, and nobody ever said anything. And I get where some of these pitchers like Tyler Glasnow say, you're taking this away from us in the middle of a season, and this has an impact. All that makes sense. I get that. And I do maybe feel some level of sympathy for pitchers from that standpoint. But to me, baseball is a game where the pitcher is going to succeed 70 to 75% of the time. Everything in baseball is about the pitcher having every advantage in situations. And now they take even more advantages. I just have a big problem with a lot of the backlash that pitchers have gone through with this, saying, you know, you're Alan, I don't think 16, 17, 18-year-old pitchers put all this guck on the ball. I don't think they learned to do this for the first 10 years that they pitch. You're around it. You're around the major leaguers. What's the feeling among Pirates pitchers and your personal feelings on this?
I think amongst Pirates pitchers, I mean, I haven't talked to a lot of guys about it, but it doesn't seem like this is something that there's anyone on this staff that is real, real fired up about. I think that's probably a function of where they are in their careers. You're not going to see guys, you know, on first-time contracts and that kind of thing, or guys that are just sort of hanging on in their major league career be the ones to step up and say, hey, I think the league is screwing this up. I think you need to be someone with the comfort of a big contract like a Garrett Cole to say, I think we're doing this wrong. And so I wouldn't expect many of the Pirates players to be saying anything public about it. I think they'll just go along with it and hope to minimize its impact on themselves individually. As far as what I think about this, I mean, clearly it had to stop. You couldn't allow – the Major League Baseball couldn't allow what had happened to continue. I think it was pretty obvious that they had a problem after last year. I think they were negligent in doing something about it during the offseason and then deciding to make what is a pretty dramatic change during the season is both unfair for the pitchers and, frankly, unfair for a competitive balance in the league. You have some teams that will be more affected by this than others, and you're going to change the rules, basically, even though they're not changing the rules. I mean, we all know enforcement is what it is. It'd be like if they started pulling every car over that's going 1 mile an hour down the highway without any announcement. You would be pretty upset about that if you got pulled over for going 36 and a 35. That's not the standard that you've come to expect, and it wouldn't necessarily happen evenly or fairly when you do go into something like that. And so I think there's plenty of criticism for the process, but I think the end result is going to end up better. I mean, what Major League Baseball really wants is more balls put in play. As far as the pitchers come in this game, you say they're set up for success, but from the league standpoint, the pitchers are the bad guys. Nobody goes to a game and wants to buy tickets. They're like, oh, I really hope what I see today is 10 strikeouts in a 2-1 game. Right, people want to see offense. They want to see action with the ball in play. And so these are like big structural changes. We've talked about it on this show. That baseball's got a big issue about scoring, about putting balls in play. And they can really make a big dent in it just by simply enforcing their own rules that were already on the books. That seems like a no-brainer decision. I just think they should have made it a little bit better timing-wise for the players involved. But I think the end result is going to be a really positive one for baseball.
Look, there is no doubt that Garrett Cole is extremely talented. He has been forever. But Garrett Cole wasn't this pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. His ERA starting in 2013, 3.22, 3.65. He did have the big year in 2015, 2.60 ERA, 32 starts, 208 innings. But after that, he goes back in 16 with a 3.88 ERA, 4.26 in 2017. Then he gets to Houston, and all of a sudden, in 18, then Garrett Cole becomes maybe the Garrett Cole everybody thought he could be in Pittsburgh. Can I make the case that, be it Garrett Cole or any pitcher that you want to name, Trevor Bauer, they're just simply not these guys that we think that they are, at least 8, 10, 15% of them, because they've been taking advantage of this situation for several years.
Yeah, I think you can draw a near direct line to, I mean, look, Trevor Bauer was really good in 2018. We'll see. But I think to me, the biggest thing is the consistency of the improvement across the board. I think you've seen some pitchers that were inconsistent become consistent. You've seen some pitchers that were average become great, and you're not seeing a lot the other direction, right? You would expect if every once in a while a Garrett Cole, the Pirates Garrett Cole, turns into the Cy Young Garrett Cole, that there would be guys that were Cy Young pitchers 2 or 3 years ago that all of a sudden kind of lose it a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. We're not seeing the other side of it. To me, that's what really stands out, is that pitchers across the league are having these elevation in RPM, and it's coincide with better numbers. And so I think it's pretty clear that there's a lot of this going on in the league. It's not some kind of isolated incident. I think you're going to see a pretty big league-wide impact on results based on the enforcement.
Hey, Alan, I care about this. You're knowledgeable about it. You think fans give a damn about anything we're talking about?
No, I think this is one of those things where you don't see it, so you don't know what's happening.
Yep.
And I think the change was slow enough that nobody really saw it happening, right? You didn't see the pitchers becoming more dominant on the field by watching every day. You needed to take that 10,000-foot view, right, and say, like, oh, wow, look at the numbers now and look at the numbers 3-4 years ago. Things have really changed. And so I think what fans might appreciate the result, but I think the contentious way that it went down, leaving a lot of major leaguers complaining, the sort of ridiculousness with the players stripping on the field, I think that's going to maybe lessen what could be, I think, a really popular change in the eyes of a lot of fans, because, like I said, everybody wants more offense. Nobody's cheering for the pitchers league-wide, right? They want runs to be scored. They want guys on base and balls in play. That's what gets the biggest cheers at every ballpark I've ever been to. And so I think fans will appreciate the result, even if they don't necessarily care about the product, the process. And I know they definitely weren't. This isn't something that the average fan was up in arms about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, very, very well said. Alan Saunders covers the Pirates for the Associated Press, also SteelersNow.com. Appreciate the time, man. Great discussion, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rick.
All right, very good stuff.